Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And if you can hear excitement in my voice, well, there's a good reason for that. And it's because I'm hanging out with incredibly awesome people in the morning, which means it has to be Friday and it has to be the Mac Show. The biggest part of that that has me all excited is hanging out with super cool people. And yeah, I'm happy to be here with all of you. Chuck, how's it going?
It's going great, Jeff. It's going great. I'm already moving too fast and breaking things this morning. So
this is one of the many things I love about you, Chuck.
Yes.
That he breaks things.
Yeah. He moves fast, he breaks things.
Yeah, but only in a good way. Only in a good way.
Yeah. Positive destruction.
Sure.
The
way Silicon Valley used to be, and in the early times before moving fast and breaking things became a careless, reckless kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
As we should. Yeah, Marty, how's it going for you?
Just like Chuck, I went to see the doctor this morning, and he told me I'm moving fast and breaking things. You know, so he kind of looked at my metrics and then he said, so how much did you weigh when you were 18 years old? And I said, that's 50 years ago. And he's like, well, that's where your body optimally, that's the weight that is optimal for your body. Now, I don't expect you to lose to get all the way back. And I'm like, and then he's like, and this is why you get this stuff. And this is why you get this stuff. So I have been moving fast and breaking things.
And the things is yourself.
Yeah.
When I was 18, I didn't even weigh 120 pounds.
That's not enough.
No.
Yeah, that's not enough.
not for someone your size.
No. Yeah. I mean, at 18, that's just what my body was. Yeah. And but, oh my God, if I weighed that now, I would be in the hospital, not in a good way.
Mm-hmm. This was an oncologist I went to, and he spent an hour with me telling me about every aspect of my health and basically said, yeah, you're fine with your blood work. And then went on to tell me how to deal with my weight, how to deal with exercise, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, don't you have other people you need to see?
Nope.
Yeah, is this going to take much longer? Because I need a candy bar if it did.
The irony was I driving home because I had to make this second meeting I went to where we're disappointing people, breaking students' hearts and minds. That's our job in academia. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got to drive through McDonald's to pick something up.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Hearts, yeah. Minds, and spirit.
Yeah.
Yep. Oncologist. Patrice, how's it going for you?
I am not. I've not been to the oncologist this week, so that's a good thing. I'm good. I don't know where this week went. It just flew by. It's already Friday. What happened? I don't know. I was walking last weekend about like from Thursday to Saturday. I think we did like 55 kilometers, which is like, was that like 40-ish miles walking in the city, like not gonna hike or whatever with a friend here. So that was fun. It was actually quite a lot of fun. I went flying on Sunday. So been a good week, fun week, lot to do. Yeah, health wise, I was thinking, Marty talked about like 18. I'm like, I weighed a lot when I was 18, so not sure that is the benchmark. I weigh a little bit more than that, but not that much more. So I'm not far away from my goal.
His reference was, you've got a fatty liver.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah.
So New Yorkers want to eat me. I'll stay out of the ocean. Good morning.
New Yorkers want to eat you? What? Other stuff.
Yeah, and he said, well, that's because your body is fat. Yeah. And because the liver's job is to help process all of that, and it can't. So
Yes,
your
it is a
optimal
problem.
liver body ratio should be how you were when you were 18 years old.
Yeah. No, it is definitely a problem. And I always tell that. I tell that to my employees. I tell that to everybody. I'm like, I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I know a lot of the conventional wisdom and what doctors tell you is bullshit. But at the end of the day, you should care about your health. You should go to the doctor, or you should somewhat listen to them, or at least do your own research sometimes as well. Because you only have that one life, and you only have that one body, and you never know when it's going to end. I mean, tomorrow you might get hit by a bus or fall over and die. Like, I hope not, but it does happen. So take care of
Yeah,
it.
conversely, if you set your expectations low, like you're going to die at 68,
Yeah.
then anything beyond that is extra. But if you try to set this fantasy that you're going to live forever, then
Well,
you're constantly fighting it. I'm like, nah, I'm checking out after 68.
68 is already quite far. In my family, my dad died with at 56. So it's
Yeah,
like, and there's other
my
families
dad
where
died
people
at
had heart attacks at 30. So
yeah, my
probably
dad
not.
had died at 68, and my brother died at 68. So men in my family, if I get past 68, it's extra.
Yeah, but I mean, talk to yourself because, or speak for yourself, because I want to live forever. I want to see all the amazing technology that we can invent. So I'm not 68 yet, but so far I'm like 10,000 years, 20,000 years. Why not?
I plan to run my bank account up to the point that I'm grabbing my chest. The last penny will be spent, and I'll be grabbing my chest and going, time to check out.
Yeah, somebody famous said that if I can just live up until my money runs out, that's the way I want it. And if I that means if I make it to next Tuesday, I'm fine.
Yes. Yeah. See? See? That's a perspective.
Like Chuck and Marty, I've been moving fast and breaking things this morning, but that's only because I didn't put my glasses on when I got up. And, you
What
know,
did you break?
my ego. I actually
Oh, okay.
walked into the wall. Well, not
Well,
directly into the wall, but,
the
the
corner.
part of the doorway.
Yeah. To be there on that. Yes.
Yeah, it turns out when you have really crappy vision and astigmatism, when you don't have your glasses on, you do live in a Dr. Seuss kind of world.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
gauging where things like very blurry ends of walls are, not as easy as you'd
Add
think.
ADHD to that, and then you know why I have bruises and like all of that all over my body all the time. It's the story of my life. I constantly run into things.
To the best of my knowledge, I'm not ADHD, but I have mystery bruises all the time.
Who do you fight with? That's the question.
Oh boy, I'm not going to go there. I want to go there so
Oh,
bad,
but
and I am
Chuck wants
not.
to go there so
I am
bad.
so bad want to go there, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to leave it. I'm not going to move fast and break that. So.
Okay.
Oh, thanks. And as long as we're talking about medical stuff, my screening test for colon cancer came back negative.
Good.
You know how you can do the annual screening thing? I do it every year, and
As you should.
as you should. So yeah, do those little tests, people, because you never know. I mean, mine consistently has been coming back negative, but I had a friend who was negative forever, and then one year they're like, we need to run more tests. And and within a few weeks they were in surgery to have like about 12 inches of their colon removed, and they're fine now. But everything was caught early enough because of the
Yeah,
screening.
it sneaks up on you. That's
Yeah. So anyhow, thanks everyone for joining us for the British Tech Network's Health This Week show.
The British Medical Network.
The British Medical Network, and
with people who have no clue about medical, but still talk about it.
Right, right. Chuck, where can people find it?
You know what? I think I'll just pile on here a little bit, because if I turn my head, wrong hand. I've got that going down there. So mm-hmm. I saw the dermatologist yesterday, mm-hmm. and they said, "Oh yeah, we just got a couple of things to take care of," and the liquid nitrogen came out, and so. You know, today I look like I've been beat up in various places, some of which are not obvious. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's just like that's a lot better than letting it get a hold of you. So, and it is a normal thing for golfers, especially mm-hmm. of my age, who didn't know back then. You know what we know now about sunscreen, and so we were out getting sunburns on a pretty consistent basis. Mm-hmm. So
even if it's overcast, it's like, put your sunscreen on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and so you know, I'm here to say anybody, you know, it's not the good thing is it's not a big deal if you catch it early. It just you know that'll be gone in a couple of days. It looks like a little bruise, but you don't want to let it get a hold of you. So
yeah. Yep. Yep. I have watched doctors, dermatologists burn so with the nitrogen burn so much off of my dad. And,
Yeah.
I mean, he was a farm boy and mm-hmm. Didn't wear a hat, didn't wear sunscreen.
Yep.
True.
And now it's
also your dad. So quite white, I would assume.
No.
No?
No. I have my grandpa's complexion.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Cuz I assume I'm the redhead and
I got that too, so
everyone else was darker hair mm-hmm. and at least a little bit of melanin in their skin. Melatonin.
Melatonin is the thing that
The melatonin is the thing that helps me sleep, but gives me horrible, horrible dreams. So melanin.
Yes. Mm. I mean, you could also have melatonin in your skin, but that's kind of weird.
Or Melania. You could have
Melania. Oh, no, you don't want Melania.
I would prefer not.
If you have that, go to the doctor, I would say.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. I'm in the wrong show here.
Welcome, Chuck.
Weren't we going to talk about technology?
There's some medical tech here discussion. So but now we'll get to the fun tech.
Yeah, and let's go. There's enough happening in the Apple world.
Right. There's a new dongle that you can apply directly to Chuck to test for all kinds of. Medical issues. No, wait. But
Borat
implausible.
Is
yeah. Apparently Tesla's going to add CarPlay.
Well, now that CarPlay is dead, according to a lot of other pundits, Tesla, of course, is going to add it.
Right. Yeah, and the whole thing with CarPlay is dead. I do take issue with that. I mean, yes, there are car manufacturers that are being very obtuse about features they offer their customers, but so the reasoning according to Bloomberg's report is that Tesla is looking for ways to boost their declining sales, and they're thinking CarPlay. Yeah, they're thinking, hey, CarPlay, that might be it.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, as far as I know, there were like, I want to say 5 years ago or something, or maybe longer, rumors that this was already like a prototype internally. So I'm sure they had implemented it, or at least someone had thought about it. And now they're like, hey, maybe we should ship this. Yeah, it's a good. I mean, I would say you can think about Tesla what you want. I'm not a big fan, but hey, it's good for the people who like the cars. Whether they sell more or not, don't know. But I mean, the research says a lot of people make decisions based on CarPlay or not. Whether that is true or not, I don't know.
You know, I don't think that should be any surprise, because when you come down to it, it's four wheels and an engine. Okay, and if you are a car person, and we always tease Webb Bixby about being a car person, but if you are, you know, not an enthusiast, if you just use it principally to get from here to there, it's all the creature comforts that make the difference.
Yes,
that, you know, and reliability and creature comforts, and so and the entertainment system, now information system. You know, it used to be entertainment. Now it's infotainment, basically.
Yeah.
It can make a difference, because Bob Beach just in the chat said that he would not buy a car without CarPlay, and it's not because I'm an Apple fan. You know, I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Because you know, this is my phone, and I want to be able to use all the assets that my phone and CarPlay can give me in my car.
Yeah, I took a rental car, one of the shared cars here that you can get, like, pick up on the street and go somewhere a couple of weeks ago, and it didn't have CarPlay, and I was like, I'm never driving this freaking car ever again, because it was so inconvenient that I needed maps to navigate where I was going, whatever, and I couldn't connect it to the car and whatever. It was so annoying that I'm like, I am never doing this again.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. I drive a 2013 Prius, and that's before Toyota had CarPlay.
Mm-hmm.
And was that even before CarPlay? I can't even remember.
I think it was before CarPlay, like by a year or two, I think.
Yeah, and it is so frustrating to not have CarPlay in my car. And I have looked at some of the like add-on things that you just stick on your dash that give you CarPlay, and they tend to not have good reviews, so I keep looking at replacing the head unit with one that has CarPlay support, and the cool thing is you can do it, and then it just fits in, and it's part of the dash. The downside is to not lose all of the other functionality, like the backup camera, which you really need in a Prius because sight lines are horrible. All of the controls on the steering wheel, you have to buy all these adapters and harnesses and stuff. And by the time you're done, all of the stuff you have to buy to be able to use the CarPlay head in your car, it costs more than the CarPlay head.
Yeah.
And so I guess what I'm saying is the only reason I haven't done it, it isn't because it costs more for all the stuff to make it work than it does for the unit. It's because it's just a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, I get that.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Tesla is now going to put CarPlay in it. Still doesn't make me want to buy a Tesla.
Yeah. True.
Makes me want to buy a car that has CarPlay in it. There's lots of reasons why I won't buy a Tesla.
Yeah.
And you know, so I think this is good PR for the company, but I don't know if it's going to drive sales as much.
I don't think it will drive sales. I mean, it will get some people who are on the fence to buy a Tesla, but I don't think this is going to make a significant change in sales. I think their problems with sales go far beyond CarPlay. There's a lot of people that are not happy with the quality control for the builds on Teslas. And there's a lot of people that don't want to buy a car from a company that's associated with Elon Musk.
Yeah. I mean, I had on InSpace the other, I think last weekend even, or weekend or last week somewhere, a discussion about that. There's some Tesla like owners and we were talking about like electric cars and like whatever. And I said, I mean, politics aside, it's not even the best electric car these days. There's way better electric cars, and there's actually better selling even electric cars these days, which surprised them because they thought Tesla was still the number one manufacturer in the world, and it's not true. They're not. They're neither the number one EV manufacturer nor the number one car manufacturer. There's better cars. Doesn't mean that if you bought a Tesla, that you're a bad person. No, like, I mean, if you like your car, hey, it's your car. Like, I'm not gonna argue against that. Like, if it works for you, if you love it, you love it. It's just don't treat what you prefer as a fact.
And you know, I'm kind of with Marty. The fact that Tesla will have CarPlay is not going to cause me to buy it. But
same,
it removes an obstacle.
It does.
It removes and you know, look, this is going to shock some people, but there are Android users out there. They're you know, I don't understand them, but they're there. And so everything we're talking about here with CarPlay applies to, you know, the Google product, you know, being included in cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't care if it has, I don't know, what are they, does it Google Play? I don't know what they call it.
Android Auto, and what's the other one? Android Auto is the system that really is the full car, like everything. And the other one is called, I think, Google Car?
I don't know.
Play is their
app store.
Online purchase yeah. app store thing.
I think it's called Google Car or something like that. Android Auto is the basically the operating system replacement for the full car. So that's a different thing.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about that if I were an Android owner, I'd want to be having the same conversation about the ability to use my phone and its capabilities. Mm-hmm. And so these companies that are dropping this, okay, you know, it might not be a deal breaker like it would be for some of us, but it's definitely one more strike against you for purchasing that manufacturer's car. And that's where I think, if I'm attracting people, I want to attract as many as I possibly can and not put barriers in front of them. And this is it may be a big barrier for us, it is, for some people it's not. But, you know, and then there was another article I saw this week that, GM is going to partner, I think, with Google, but, you know, eventually they're going to develop their own AI. It's like, well, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. So by a correction to what I said, Android Auto is the CarPlay thing and Android Automotive is the full operating system. Because, yes, it's confusing like that.
Yeah, Patrice, and they say, I have you confused that.
And they say Apple has a bad naming scheme. Good Lord. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been CarPlay Pro Max Plus, but okay.
I bought an Android phone, went on vacation with it and with my iPhone, and the car broke down, and we wound up getting a rental, and I decided instead to hook up the Android phone as my connection for it, and it was a nice interface. I can't say anything bad about my experience with that. You know, and it was the phone that then was connected to that rental car, and I used my iPhone for other stuff. But yeah, I was pretty impressed with it, the mapping and everything that went with it. So you're right, Chuck, Android should be knocking on people's doors.
Yeah, no, Android Auto is, I've seen it, it's actually, it's a good solution.
It makes sense that it would be, because it integrates tightly with all of the other Android apps that Google offers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of like CarPlay integrates with Apple's offerings.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, if anything, Google is good at software. Like, I mean, you can say a lot of things about Google, but they're good at software.
Mm-hmm.
You won't expect it to be around in a couple of years, but yeah, they're good at
exactly. That's a different story.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, Android Auto has been around for quite a while. Like, it's not a recent thing. So, I mean, it's either going to get canceled anytime or never. Because at this point, it's gone past the usual shutdown dates.
Yeah, how about that? Huh. All right.
2015, it was released. I just checked.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Next story. This is a sports story. So, you know, I'm the guy to talk about this
one. Go sports team.
Go sports. Hey, love those costumes. such great colors.
Yes.
Major League Soccer, or for those of you in the real world, that would be football. It's on Apple TV in 2026. Also, if you are an Apple TV subscriber, there's no paywall for this. It's just part of what you get with your Apple TV subscription. And my take is that this is a super smart move.
Yeah.
Just get it out there for everyone. This is another opportunity for Apple to show that their streaming platform is a valid competitor because another real-time live sports thing that they have in there.
They're adding a lot of live sports. I mean, including on the Vision Pro, like live,
Lakers games.
Yeah, spatial sports. That's what. Yeah, Lakers games exactly. Live spatial sports. So, like, I mean, expect the price for Apple TV to go up in the next year or two, because they will, of course, say at some point, "Well, look, you're getting more stuff now, so we should increase the price." It's inevitable, but it makes sense also. Like, I mean, the more you get for it, the better the value is, the more they can charge for it as well, and also need to, because stuff like that is not free. I mean, Formula One just got a crap ton of money just for the US. But it's better than putting it behind a paywall where it's people have to sign up for it and it's complicated. And
I'm going to disagree with you about the price. I mean, maybe the price will go up, but I'm going to disagree with you about it. I think what this attempts to do is broaden the audience
for
Apple TV.
Of course.
Instead, and the gains are made in having a larger audience, subscribers who they normally wouldn't have into Apple TV. So,
yeah. But Apple also
adding the product just adds to me. Mm-hmm. I think one revenue driver is that it adds folks to watch it. I faithfully signed up for Major League Soccer every year, saying this is going to be the year that I'm actually going to watch this stuff and get into it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it's there, and I want to support it, and yada yada yada.
Yeah.
Next year, I won't have to pay for it, and I still won't be watching any Major League Soccer games.
No, but this is not like mutually exclusive, right? It will broaden the appeal of Apple TV. It will hopefully also broaden the subscriber base, which is great. And at the same time, it does increase the value of the platform, and at some point, Apple can charge more for it, and they like their services revenue. So can have both.
You know, I agree with the broadening of the audience part completely. There's another interesting little thing, though, that seems to be happening. And I believe, if I have this right, Amazon is doing it now. Apple may be doing it if it's a trend. But you're starting to see these sports-oriented series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for golf, the Stick was on Apple TV. Apple TV, not Apple TV Plus. Apple TV. F1, you know, they did the movie, now they're into that. And I just wonder, you know, if this is, I think this is a trend, because look, let's face it, sports sells. I mean, football, basketball, baseball are the top three, no question about it. But all the other ones command a pretty decent audience. And they are passionate, dedicated audiences.
Yes.
They're not just the drive-by audience.
Yeah.
So I feel like this, it's good to see Apple getting into this game. Yeah. Patrice, you're right. It's an expensive game to get into.
Yeah.
But it feels like they have to. They have to do something. And so do they decide to leverage, you know, their programming, their dramatic programming, if you will, with the live sports programming and take the synergies there. I mean, so how long will it be before we see a soccer drama?
Oh,
I mean, we've already seen one. I don't know, but
yeah, you know. Maybe. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's not Apple didn't have to do it. There's plenty of networks that don't and are successful. But it makes sense for Apple, the company that Apple is. Like, so, yeah, I mean, it's, and I think Apple is, and that's a cool thing, Apple is bringing something new, some quality improvements or some changes to a established system, right? The sports streaming channel, TV, whatever you want to call it, networks have been around for quite a long time.
Yeah. And it provides fresh content. Yes. By its very nature.
Yes, you know, which is Apple's biggest, but people perceive as biggest. I disagree with that at this point. I think there's so much content that it's getting to a point where I'm not sure I can watch everything I want. But people still think Apple doesn't have a lot of content.
Yeah, but you know, but instead of having to go out and sign up stars and then hire writers, hire directors and all that, mm-hmm. you sign up with a sports network of some kind or a sport and automatically...
Instant content.
And with somebody else doing, now look, you're paying to support that content, but somebody else is doing a lot of the work and there are other revenue sources to that other person that helps make it more affordable for you.
To be fair, Apple is doing more work than I think a lot of people expected because they were bringing their own commentators and their own shows and whatever to it, their own podcasts, all of that. Which they didn't have to. They could have just said, well, for Formula One, for example, yeah, we're doing the Sky stream. That's it. It's good enough. They did the work for us, but they're not. So Apple is doing the Apple thing. They're like, okay, no, we can make this better. So works, I would say. No, it's a really good move. I mean, I don't care about sports like Jeff probably. I'll probably never watch it. But I am excited for what it means for the whole platform.
Yep, me too. Okay, here's something that no doubt Chuck is super excited for. iPhone Pocket is on sale now. And for those of you that don't know, this is the over-your-shoulder sling pocket thing knit to hold your iPhone. Comes in different colors, and it's a collaboration between Apple and Issey Miyake.
The Borat player. immediate memes about that because it does look quite a lot like something Borat would be wearing.
And I didn't think about it until you said it, but I cannot unsee it now.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, let's be honest. Apple has done socks. Apple has done a lot of things like that. I mean, recently they introduced like all the straps and cases and whatever. This is 100% in line. This is a trend right now that people like doing that. So of course Apple is gonna do the Apple thing and have something like that for a lot of money. It's like, what was it, $250, I think, for like one of those. Okay, you're right. $199 for the like smaller version, and for the crossbody, I think it's $249, something like that.
I gotta go put my order in right now.
You better, because they're selling out.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm not kidding. I don't know whether I would ever use it, but they do look cool, I have to say.
Well, I've already ordered two because I'm going to wear them, you know, like across like a couple bandoliers.
That would be
so
cool.
So that I've got, you know, an iPhone in each, you know.
Did it just get hot in here?
Oh, that's so cool. And he's, of course, not going to wear anything else. So.
Yeah, well.
That's exactly what I was visualizing.
Just the bandoliers, iPhone in each one.
I saw a post on this where people were suggesting this could be your Vision Pro battery sling.
It would work as that. Yes, it would work.
Where you could have it around your neck and do that.
Yeah.
Belkin has one.
I have one. Not the Belkin one. I have a different, like another third party, but I have one like that. It's super, super useful. So yeah, and it would, it has the right size and the right dimensions. It would totally work. It's stretchy anyway. So you can even add more than just your phone to it.
Yeah, I have, I've got the Belkin one, and I also just got a knockoff one that works just as well as the Belkin one. And I've begun to appreciate having my battery attached to that, because I can just put it over my, you know, put it over my head. And because there's always that, you're holding the battery in one hand and you're trying to move around, or you're trying to do something, or you're putting it in your, in my case, in my shirt pocket, and it feels like it's going to pull me over from the weight of it. This thing, those kind of slings, have a lot of multiple purposes for it, let alone being, I think, in certain areas and certain regions. And if you look at where they're doing the places where they're doing the sales of these things, the countries that they're doing it in, it's kind of meaningful that this would catch on there. To me, this is like a Hermes watch band. I'll never buy one. But it kind of pulls into that market, that trend.
I have to say, I didn't think I would like it, but I like the crossbody strap from Apple. It is really good, and it still looks nice after after many months of daily usage. So,
So I do want to give. We've been laughing about this, and when we did our live show Tuesday night, I did not know. I give Ken Ray credit for calling this out, that this designer is the one who designed the black turtlenecks for Steve Jobs.
Yes,
I did not know that up to that point. So I started to take it a little more seriously, you know, because it's we know designers at that level have a much different perspective on things. witness Johnny Ive. But I'm not saying that it's any more for me than it was before I learned that. I'm not going to buy one just because he designed it. But, you know, it gives me a little more pause about the usability of this, and to Marty's point, you know, how it may play in other countries.
I mean, I'm sure Apple has done their research. They wouldn't be selling it if they didn't think it would make at least enough money back that it's worth it. I mean, it's for sure memorable, like the iPod socks, right? Like, I think in 10 years, people, I mean, we might, it might be a one-off thing. It's like Apple sells it and then never again. We will, I'm sure we will remember it. And if it's only for the Borat memes that came with it.
So I'm checking Apple Store for, see if I can order it. What? They're all, every color is sold out. I need to, maybe I've got the wrong store selected. Okay. I'm checking all the stores that Apple thinks is relatively close to me. So it's all the ones in Colorado. And then
we don't get it in Austria, apparently.
Albuquerque, Salt Lake City, Farmington, Omaha, and Oklahoma City, and Murray. I'm not sure where Murray is. Anyhow, it's sold out everywhere.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing here in Northeast Ohio.
That tells you either Apple didn't think that it would sell that well, or they underestimated how well it would sell.
Yeah.
Well, either way, they underestimated.
The long is only three colors. The short one, that's where you get the wide variety of colors.
Yes. Yeah. Does not available in Austria yet. I just checked.
All right. Well, Chuck, it's a good thing you jumped on that fast. Otherwise, you would have missed out on being able to get your your sexy time bandoliers.
Yep. So now I just have to order the second iPhone, and then I'm good to go.
Awesome. I'm picturing you walking around with Vision Pro on your two bandoliers, iPhone in either one, and of course nothing else. And this is just going to break OnlyFans.
It's gonna break something.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, I can't wait to report back when I see my first one of these in the wild. And considering where I am, Boulder area,
oh, you'll
the
see
likelihood
that
I will see one is pretty high.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of high, boy, Chuck, what are you smoking? Kidding. hey, Patrice, do you mind telling people about the live stream?
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
He's from Colorado. What do you?
Oh,
he's
that's
from Colorado.
True.
What
that's
do you want?
True.
You
know? Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Fair.
Okay,
fair.
Got it. That's true. Okay. Yeah, we have a live stream. It's very active today, which is great. Thanks to Bob Beach and Martin Mandigan. And if you want to join that as well, every week when we record this show, you can join our live stream. Head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com. That is Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show, and Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. So if you're interested in non-Apple type of things, like when you talk about Android Auto, for example, or Android Automotive, that's usually happening on the big show. We also talk about other stuff. Yeah, and that's it. There's a video on the left, the chat on the right. You can start typing. It generates really funny names for you. I can scroll up a little bit and see. There was the modest Sihusi? Sinusi? Something like that. Don't know what that is, but it generates funny names, but you can just change them, like Bob Beach, for example, did. He was the Practical Pain, and he has changed his name to Bob Beach, of course. There's a purple button up top on the page. You tap on it, you say change name, pick a name that's not taken in, like already, because otherwise it will tell you this name is not available. Like if you said, hey, I'm Patrice, that would not work, or Jeff, because we have registered names. But any other name that's not registered, you can just pick. And then, like, but you don't have to. You can just talk to us, and it's very cool. We have a live transcript as well. So if you want to see what we talked about, have all the links to, for example, the iPhone Pocket newsroom article from Apple, or the cool things that are coming up, then you can just go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, pick today's date on the calendar. Today is the 14th of November, 2020. Five. Wow, this year is already over almost. It's probably 4 weeks to Christmas about. And maybe five, I don't know. And yeah, that's it. That's all I wanted to say about this.
Awesome. Well, thank you for doing that, because it sounds so much more professional when you do it compared to me.
When I completely improvise it and forget what I wanted to say, yes.
It still works. Yeah. Hey, speaking of working, all of this stuff works because Ought Technologies is our sponsor. They're handling the resources, making sure we have the resources so that we can live stream shows every week, so that we have a place with a website, a place for all of the show recordings to live, so you can watch or listen to shows anytime you want. And their support is key to us being here, making shows happen for you. So thank you, Ought Technologies, for that. And for those of you that may not have realized what the company does, they do the on-site monitoring, like for your construction projects or whatever your other projects might be. They do a lot with the railroad industry. So set up the remote cams, the other remote sensors you need, all this stuff, so you have all your monitoring.
That sounded dirty, sitting at the remote cams. No, they're not doing OnlyFans usually.
No, but huh, I wonder if the price was right. No, anyhow.
You have to go ask.
Go ask, but they are a proper, upright company.
Yeah.
And they have a great reputation, and they're fantastic at what they do.
Yeah.
Go check them out. Ought Technologies, it's AWE technologies.co.uk. Thank you, Ought Technologies, for being our sponsor. And with that, now it's time for some cool things. So who has the first one, and it's Patrice, and this is exactly why I had a backup cool thing this week.
Well,
Patrice,
I told you before the show that this would be my cool thing today.
Yes.
It is a brand spanking new Apple TV Plus sci-fi show. And if you've been on Apple TV Plus, you know they have some really amazing content in the sci-fi genre. This one is called Pluribus. It's a Vince Gillian show, so the creator of, for example, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, amongst a lot of other stuff that he's done. And the story is basically the main character, Karen, she's an author, and she's, I think they call her the unhappiest person on the planet. And then an alien incident happens. Something happens to all the people on Earth, except for, I think, 12. And, there's stuff that happens. I don't want to spoil it. So you will have to go watch it. I don't want to spoil what happens exactly. But she basically, she's one of 12 people on the planet that are not influenced by the thing that happened. And the other side is basically trying to get them, take care of her and make her happy, basically, while they figure out how they can get her also on their side. And of course, she's not happy with that. So, and the rest is really hilarious, really fun, really great actors. The main character, now I'm blanking on her name. What was Rhea Seaman, something like that?
Seahorn.
Thank you. I was like so close.
That's a big difference between Seahorn and Seaman.
Yes, there definitely
is. In case you want to know.
There definitely is.
Can you explain that for me, Marty?
No.
Yeah. You've seen her as, what was her character's name on Better Call Saul? Blanking on it right now. But she was the partner of Saul, basically, the lawyer. Like, she had a lawyer.
I should watch that show sometime.
You should probably, yeah. And she is really... There's a podcast, by the way, if you are interested in behind-the-scenes stuff. Apple has done a whole podcast, or is doing a whole podcast with the cast and crew and whatever, where they talk a lot about how they made the things, how they made certain decisions and whatever. Really interesting, I have to say. I also want to mention Carolina Wydra is one of the main other characters that you see a lot, and I really like her. It's a really weird but also really cool show. Like, it's there's stuff happening, you're like, wow, did not expect that. So good show. Yep. Good show. People love it so far. Everybody I've talked to, they're really raving. So,
and the trailer does not give it justice. The trailer,
not at all.
I've sent the trailer to friends to look at it, and it's like, this does not raise the level of excitement I have for this show.
Yeah. I saw the trailer, and for me it was okay, this sounds intriguing. I'll probably watch it when it comes out. So I put it on my watch list. But you're right, it does not really do it justice, because I think they didn't want to reveal too much in the trailer.
It would be difficult to do the trailer without giving any spoilers at all. Like the way episode one plays out, everything in there is a surprise and a twist.
Yes.
And if you put any of that into a trailer, then you've taken part of that away.
Yeah.
Episode three, so it comes out on Fridays, good. But episode three, they release it Thursday night.
Yeah, it's always Thursday night. So it's for me in middle of the night, for you late in the evening.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm caught up. I did watch episode three last night.
So good.
And, and the way the episode ends, I feel like that's a setup for what episode four will be, and episode four will probably be just nuts. Incredibly stressful to watch.
Nuts.
In a good way.
In a good way. No, it's like Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul. There's a lot about morality, about human connection, society, a lot of it. Like that's makes his shows usually very, very interesting to see. And you get that here as well. Episode three ended very interesting. And Yeah, I have some ideas where it's going, but I'm probably wrong because usually there's a twist with wind.
Yeah, I think that's a fair
Yes.
assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pluribus is
Yeah.
fantastic.
Carol, by the way, I think is the name, not Karen. The main of the
Carol, that's the main
Yeah.
character,
Yeah,
Carol.
Carol. I said Karen earlier.
And so, okay, next cool thing actually comes from Magic Man. And I am totally on board for Magic Man's cool thing
Okay.
because it was my cool thing on the big show yesterday. And this is the Lego,
Ah, yes.
their very first Star Trek kit because they now have the license to do Star Trek. And they're doing the Enterprise from Next Generation, so Enterprise D. And this is a glorious kit.
Yes. So glorious that I don't buy Lego. I don't buy Lego kits and assemble them. I don't have Lego anywhere. And I'm like, shit, I think I might have to spend $400 for this.
Yeah, this kit's so cool looking that that on the big show yesterday, without any sense of embarrassment, guilt, or shame, I said, "Anyone want to buy this for me? Please do." And if you buy it when it goes on sale, I believe it's on the 28th of November.
Something like that, yeah.
It includes what they call a gift with purchase, so you get a bonus kit with it. And the
Mm-hmm.
bonus kit is a shuttlecraft from Next Generation. The main kit includes, I believe, nine minifigures, so the whole main cast, and then the shuttlecraft includes a Rolaren minifigure.
Yeah, does it come with Tasha Yar?
No, it does not have a Tasha Yar, but it
Yeah,
does have Guinan.
it does have kind. Okay, that's worth it. I mean, Chuck, for you, that's an insta buy, right? Mr. Random Track. No, Track
You
Favorites was
know,
yours, right?
yeah, I looked at
Yes.
that and I saw it, and first of all, my first thing was, when am I ever going to put this together? But my second thought
Yeah,
was
true.
Jeff would have time to put it together.
For you.
So,
He, if you buy it, he'll come over and assemble it for you.
I don't doubt that for a second.
Yeah, just let me know when to show up. Yeah, Magic Man, I fully approve and
Yes.
endorse your pick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Chuck, this will be the part that that actually really sells it for you. The saucer section detaches.
Yeah, and it's
Oh my God,
massive.
really?
It is massive.
Yeah,
Like
it
that's
looked
the
it.
thing. That's the thing. I didn't appreciate it like on the pictures. At first I was like, yeah, okay, it looks nice. And then you see there's one picture with a person in it. You know, like it's big. It's like 60
It's big.
centimeters by 30 centimeters basically. So whatever
By
that is in
the
inch.
nature of it, by the nature of it being a kit you have to put together, is it any surprise that the saucer section detaches?
Yes.
Yes.
So knowing how Lego elements fit together for structure and stuff, they could have very easily designed this so that the saucer section was not removable. But yeah, they designed it so, but if you look at the image of like the main image on the Lego website for this, it's like a sort of a back angle shot of the Enterprise, and you can see a little shuttlecraft just outside the main hangar bay. By the way, the main hangar
Insane.
bay opens up so you can see inside.
Yes, so cool.
That shuttlecraft is actually a button. You push that and it releases the latches that hold the saucer section on. So it comes off, and now you have the gooseneck battle bridge thing, and then the saucer section separate. And
So cool.
so when you put it back together, it'll relatch and resets where the shuttlecraft sits. Yeah.
Yes.
Bob
I'm
Beach
glad
is
it brings.
choking at the price. And I can appreciate that.
A lot of parts.
However, for a kit of this size with this number of minifigures, that's actually a reasonable price for something like this. Keep in mind, there are kits that you can buy today that will cost you $1,000.
I think more. It's like, I've seen some big. Two or three, I think I've seen.
Yeah, yeah. I don't recall what the Millennium Falcon mm-hmm. costs. But yeah, that's an expensive kit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some big kits. So anyhow, Magic Man, well done with your add to the cool things this week. And Marty, that means you are next.
I'm not taking any crap from any of you people about my purchasing decisions.
Wow. Okay, that's quite the intro, Marty.
Given the fact that it's weird to see the change in your face when you talk about detachable pod sections or whatever. I haven't seen that Christmas joy for quite a long time.
Joy, I don't judge where my joy comes from or yours.
My cool thing is, there's a story behind it. I went ahead and upgraded my iPad Pro. And the previous iPad Pro was in the dark color, whatever it's called, the dark metallic color. And with it, I bought a nice dark case, keyboard case to go with it for $300+ or whatever it was. And of course, this time I decided I would change the color and went to a silver. And I thought, this is where I'm not taking any crap from you guys. I thought, I can't put a silver thing into this kind of dull choice color of a keyboard that fits, although it fits and it works fine with the new version. So I went looking for some knockoffs that I could get cheaper. And I found this keyboard. It's a Typecase Edge Plus keyboard case for iPad Pro, 13-inch. Has a silver keyboard, 11-color backlight, multi-mode removable carbon fiber back, all of that for $139, which means if I would have purchased the Apple keyboard in the light color to work with the system, I didn't, and the price differential between this keyboard and the Apple keyboard will allow me to purchase an Apple sock.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it all works out. I have used this and appreciate a couple of things on it that you don't get on the typical keyboard. There's a place for your pen or your pencil, excuse me, and that flaps over. It flaps over and locks onto the keyboard. Weight-wise, it feels a little lighter than Apple's, but what doesn't feel a little lighter than Apple's keyboard with it? And the price is right. So it hooks up fairly well, and it Bluetooths into it, and the responsiveness is good in terms of the keys. The keys feel very much like the Apple keyboard, chiclet style keyboard. So that's my cool thing.
That's actually really cool.
Marty, just I'm looking at this. So it looks like I've just got to the graphic. A detachable Ultra Slim wing shell back case. So the iPad actually goes into this wing shell.
Gets into a frame, yeah.
Right. Okay. Because I was trying to figure out the in a prior graphic the camera. But now it makes perfect sense that if you're going to use the camera, you're going to pull it off and you're still going to have it in that wing shell. Okay.
Yeah.
How is the travel in the keys? I mean, decent quality keyboard?
For me and other lousy typists, it works great.
Okay.
So if you're, I pound on a key, you can hear me typing. Because I hit the keys pretty hard. So the travel for me doesn't and the speed at which I hit the keys, I think I can get up to a total of 13 words per minute on a keyboard. So that's my high speed on a keyboard. So the travel doesn't play into my use of it as much as it might play with others.
Okay. This looks very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Then I believe that that Mr. Modest Sinusi has the next cool thing. Excuse me, Chuck.
Did I?
You never changed your name, Chuck.
You never changed your name. You're Modest Sinusi.
Okay, I logged into the wrong browser. Sorry about that.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, so I'm going to do a little backstory, and I'm also going to echo Marty that I'm not taking any crap for this, because sometimes you just got to go with the reality of the situation. I'm helping a friend move into a new house and hook up all the electronics and everything. And no matter how hard I try, the Apple TV thing is just not an option because of the individual's personal preferences. So we started looking at, well, the other part of the story is that some new TVs were purchased, and they have the Google TV OS, which has to be second own or right behind Roku as the worst possible OS for a TV.
So much for they can do software, right?
Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, it's just amazing. But anyway, so there was some familiarity with the Fire Stick, and it's like the Amazon Fire Stick. And it's like, great, we're going to put those on every TV.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to standardize everything. And, you know, because you can set it to the Fire Stick to be the HDMI input that the TV opens up on. And so that's what we've done. And so I'm recommending the Amazon Fire TV Stick 4K Max. There is a performance difference. There's also, if you really want better performance, you're going to get the Cube, but that's a bit more expensive, and B, then takes up shelf space somewhere that you have to do it. The stick plugs right into the HDMI port, and that's it. You can also buy, I didn't pull the link for this, you can also buy a separate USB cable to plug into the TV to the USB port to power the Fire Stick, or you can just use the AC adapter to power the Fire Stick. Bottom line is, though, it's a decent interface. The odds are that you probably already have Amazon Prime, so then you have access to all that TV content easily and natively. And look, I've got Fire Sticks too, and they're not an Apple TV, but they're not horrible, and they do have some distinct advantages. So if you are looking for a cheap way to get somebody into streaming and they can't, won't go the Apple TV route, this is a very, very workable solution.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course. Okay, Amazon is going to show you ads. Just suck it up and deal with it. But the overall experience is not bad. And it's pretty affordable. And you know, I mean, right now, this particular stick is down 42% to $34.99 as we talk about this. And you know they're probably going to be even better Black Friday deals. So, again, Apple TV A, or first, Fire Stick 4K Max B. Nice. And stay away from Google TV.
Yeah, stay away from Google TV. That's good.
I got one of these things to travel to take with me, because I figured I just wanted something to do. And the hotel that I was put in had, you know, TVs, but there was no access to the HDMI input. So I brought this thing with me and then couldn't use it. And I don't know why they do that. Some of them have, you know, where you can swing the televisions off the wall and feel your way around in the back. But I was looking forward to playing around with this thing.
You know, Marty, the only thing I can think of is that the hotels are operating under the same mentality that the car manufacturers who are dropping CarPlay, you know, that they want you to be using their system, so you're paying their rate for their pay TV stuff. But that said, You know, I did that for a little while and I gave up on it. You know, it just, I didn't travel with a Fire Stick. I used to travel with an HDMI cable that I could plug my iPad into. And, but, you know, same problem. So it's just like, fine, I'll just watch stuff on the iPad and call it a day.
All right. I believe that means I'm the only cool thing left, right?
Yes.
You are a cool thing, Jeff, right
Yes.
there. Right
Oh,
there on
well, there
camera.
we go.
Yeah.
There we go. And I'm currently half off right now. So guess what I'm not wearing? No, okay. Actually, my cool thing
Yeah, I'll be getting
is
off after the show.
I'm thinking of hanging out right now.
I gotcha.
Okay, so my cool thing goes into the hardware for entertainment space, just like Chuck's did. And this is Audio Engine's new portable DAC. And it's the HXL and has USB in. It has 3.5 and 4.4 millimeter jacks. The 4.4 millimeter headphone jack is balanced. And for those of you that that matters for, you're going to be like, oh, great. excuse me. So if you have your high-end headphones that need balanced output, there you go. You've got it on this. It has its own volume controls on the side. That's important because when you're using a DAC, and just to back up a little bit, digital analog converter. So this is what takes the digital signal that you want to listen to, converts it to an analog signal that you can hear.
Yes. Because the
And there's
digital
a little.
signal would sound really bad if you just listen to
Yes, it would. Your iPhone, your Mac, all your devices that do sound out like that, they already have a little chip that's a DAC built in, but they aren't as capable as one like this.
Yes.
So, but for example, if you really want to listen to Apple's high-res music and hear what the better audio quality that it has, like really be able to take
I
advantage of
thought
that.
you would say to Chuck's amazing voice.
Well, yeah, I mean, Chuck's voice is high res. So if you want to hear that as best as it can, you're going to use a DAC, an external DAC. And so this is the portable DAC I've been testing compared to the portable DAC that I usually carry. So here you go, size
Wow,
difference right there.
that is tiny.
So this is an iFi HiP DAC. That one has a battery built in.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
And so when the power dies on that, then it doesn't work anymore. This one draws power from your iPhone, your Mac, your iPad, your Android phone. So as long as that's running, this works. It includes a USB-C cable, and it includes a USB-C to Lightning adapter because they know not everyone has an iPhone with or an iPad with USB-C. So
Does the i does Lightning even support high bitrate audio?
absolutely.
It does? Okay, good to
Oh
know.
yeah. Yep. So anyhow, I've been testing this with my audio test playlist that I've put together, which by the way, if you follow my playlist on Apple Music, it is one that I have shared. And
Throw it in the chat.
I don't even know how to find the link for that.
Okay, I'll see if I can find
Just finding where
it.
your shared playlists show up and how to see all of your friends' shared playlists is it tells me there's people at Apple that need a copy of the Human Interface Guidelines books that Apple makes. Anyhow, with the tests that I've been doing so far, and I've been using.
Found it.
Oh, great. Well, please feel free to share.
Jeff's audio Things, audio test playlist. There we go. I'll drop it in the chat.
Thank you. I've been testing this with my, I just forgot which model of in-ear monitors I'm using. Excuse me. But I have a pair of high-end in-ear monitors. Excuse me, that are attuned for music as opposed to just give me a flat reproduction. And the audio quality is really good. And so now that I've done all those tests, the next test is I'm going to plug this directly into my Mac and see what I get with my external speakers. So that comparison, excuse me, wow, will be it'll be going head to head with my Shitmody 3 Plus external DAC, which is a desktop DAC. And I'm excited to see how it performs against that. But against the iFi Hip DAC, this little box, $169, it's punching above its price range.
Yep.
So there you go. The HXL portable balanced headphone amplifier and hi-fi DAC from Audio Engine. I won't be able to test this with the sound system that I have connected to my television, because the way everything's set up, I do not have USB-C out to be able to plug into this. But that's okay, because the sound system I have on my computer is at least on par with what's connected to my television. And actually, probably better, because I have the subwoofer here. So there you go. I believe that takes care of all of our cool things. And so with that, it's time to start wrapping up. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you will find everything that we do, including the live show Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV, along with all the other interviews. Some really great things are there now. Some more great things are definitely coming up. Well, they're all great. And on all the socials, you can find me at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Marty, where can people find you?
Jencius, Jencius, my last name. You can find me on mastodon.social or also on Blue Sky. Look at the different podcasts that I do, including Vision Profiles on Monday nights. But you can find all of the work and other things that might be of interest to you at thepodtalk.net, that website.
Awesome. Okay. And Patrice, your turn. Where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays and the Mac Show on Fridays. So at least almost every week. Everything I'm doing, all the podcast projects, social media links, whatever you're looking for is on my website, thepatrice.com. And Jeff and I have a really cool podcast called Retro Rewatch, and I always like to show the mug because I just love that design.
Mine's not in the dishwasher today.
Yours is not in the dishwasher today. That's cool. Where we rewatch retro TV shows. We're currently in Stargate SG-1, somewhere in the middle of... Nice. There's a sticker. Somewhere in the middle of season 3 of Stargate SG-1. And the next episode that should be out either today or tomorrow is The Devil You Know, the second part of The Two Border. You will have to listen to that and go watch the show before, watch the episode before, because then no spoilers if you haven't seen it.
I'm looking forward to seeing or finding out what we thought of that episode.
Yeah, you probably don't remember it.
Remember Like a Goldfish.
Yes.
Look, if I can't even get through an episode in chronological order right after I've watched it, I'm not going to remember what I said about an episode.
Yes.
Days, weeks later. Yep. Okay. Then for me, Jay Gamut on the social medias. I'm most active on Mastodon and Blue Sky and Pixel Fed. I will be doing my Lego Advent calendar again this year. And there are so many people that the only place they would see that is on Instagram. I am considering posting it on Instagram as well. So I might be active on Instagram in December. Anyhow, okay, shows. Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thank you for letting me be on your show, Chuck. Thursdays on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. And he is just as patient or foolish as you, Chuck, because you both let me on. And here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show and the Mac Show, Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine. And as Patrice already told you all about, we do Retro Rewatch. And so with that, okay, let's wrap this up. Thank you again to the three of you for just being so fracking awesome. You are just wonderful, and I'm so happy we get to spend this time together. Like, genuinely happy. Hey, everyone that watches, listens live, thank you for being here and being a part of this, and for participating in the live chat. Everyone who's watching, listening to the shows later, thank you for being part of this as well. Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. Also, Magic Man, hey, special shout out to you today. So glad you're here. And Aw Technologies, thank you for being our sponsor. All right, I think I hit all the stuff. So it is now time for me to say, everyone, don't forget to come back next Thursday for the Big Show, and then on Friday for the Mac Show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.